a Man Crush Monday. Join Professor Buzzkill as he crushes on men from history who deserve more fame and glory.
Yes, indeed, Buzzkillers. It's a Man Crush Monday. And fortunately for you, we have one of my biggest man crushes, one of my biggest historian crushes, one of my biggest military officer crushes on the line from the internet. And it takes forever to give all his titles because he's so accomplished. This is Brigadier General Dr. Ty Sedgley, who's the Distinguished Professor of History at Hamilton College. General, do I have all those titles correct and in the correct order?
Wonderful. Well done. 1,000 bonus points.
Buzzkillers will know that General Sedgley has been on our show twice before, once talking about Confederate name bases, but also talking about his fabulous book, Robert E. Lee and Me. But you're here today to talk to us about a certain person from history who deserves more fame and glory. Who is that?
It's Major Samuel Tucker from my hometown of Alexandria, Virginia.
Major Samuel Tucker. Okay, tell us about him and why he deserves, if he deserves your attention, he's got to be pretty important.
Yeah, well, so Major Tucker was, and I call him that, but I mean, he spent his life mainly as a lawyer. But let me just tell you, it start out at the beginning, which is he's born in 1913. And he says, I got involved in the civil rights movement on June 8th, 1913 in Alexandria, Virginia. I was born black. So he's someone who was born into the racial apartheid state of Virginia at that period. He said he remembered when his grandfather told him before they Jim Crowed us. And then he was brilliant, but there were no black schools in Alexandria beyond eighth grade. So he had to walk 22 blocks to catch a streetcar to get to D.C. As he said, he bootlegged an education, graduated from there, went to Howard University. There were no law schools for black students. So he ended up studying for the bar, passed it and became a lawyer, passed it at 20, but they wouldn't let him get it until 21. So that's his start.
Wow. And then what does he go on to do?
Yeah, he becomes a lawyer and he fights civil rights cases for the rest of his life. Most famously, because he realizes that this is just unfair.
Right, sure.
So starting at the age of 24, 25, he realizes that Alexandria has built a whites-only public library. But the law says that there must be equal, you know, for, of course, it's not equal, but there has to be something for both black and white people. Well, they only built a white one. So he comes up with what is probably one of the first sit-in protests to racially desegregate something in the country, which is Alexandria in 1939. I mean, there have been other sit-ins, but for just for the civil rights movement, this is one of the very, very first. It gets a bunch of people to go in single file, one every 5 minutes, ask if they can use the library. The white clerk says no. They grab a book, sit down. Six of them do. And he has somebody running, a 14-year-old boy, running back and forth to tell him about it. And finally, the white community doesn't know what to do about this. Finally, they arrest them for disturbing the peace. And as Tucker says, disturbing the peace meant they were being black.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They're put on trial. And basically, the district attorney, Armistead Booth, says they violated the 14th Amendment, which is equal protection under the law, that basically saying that the 14th Amendment doesn't apply to Virginia.
Wow.
That's what their argument was. And finally, the war comes and they sort of lose. They lose the case, but they get a black library comes in anyway. Today, that black library is the Black History Museum in Alexandria. But Samuel Tucker said, I will never use that. You have got to integrate. Now, the war comes. They sort of forget about that. And he becomes a member of the 366th Infantry Regiment in the 92nd Division in Italy. It's one of the few segregated regiments that had an all-black officer corps. And he goes over there, fights against Nazis. The 366th, unfortunately, goes under a really racist commander named Ned Allman, the 92nd commander, who puts the 366th and sort of penny packs them all over the place. And has them assault in place positions where they take 1,300 casualties.
My God.
And then he accuses them of cowardice and they break the regiment apart and make them engineer sort of logistics rather than allowing them to fight. So again, this is this racism, which infects the army, also infects him. And then he moves back to Virginia.
This is astounding because so many of these things he's already done as a young man, the sit-in especially, seem to be 1950s, 1960s things, but he's doing them in the late 1930s.
Yes, the late 1930s. And again, nobody, when I was growing up in Alexandria, you know, my hero was Robert E. Lee.
Yeah.
Not anymore. My hero today is Samuel Tucker, who was incredibly brave, brilliant, and worked harder than anyone to change the apartheid state that I was born into in Virginia.
So he comes back from the war and then goes back to Alexandria?
Goes back to Alexandria, and then he moves to the Black Belt in Virginia, Emporia. Because if you could imagine what it was like to be a Black person in the southern part of the state, the only way that you went into a courthouse was as a custodian or as a defendant. The juries were all white. The prosecutor was all white. If there was a defender, it was white. Judge white. And then there was a Confederate monument outside the courthouse as you went in to show this was a racial apartheid state. So he goes down there and begins civil rights cases. At some one point, he's got 150 civil rights cases going at any one time. Finally, he starts working on the case. Well, he does two cases. The first is the Martinsville Seven. These are seven young Black men who are accused of raping a white girl. They are convicted within an hour. And then he tries desperately to get them from going to the electric chair and unfortunately fails. And all seven of these young men, some of them under the age of 18, are executed in Virginia for this rape. He tries his best to get that to stop, but it gets him on a national stage. Then after Brown versus the Board of Education occurs in 1954, he starts these civil rights cases as well. One of them against Prince Edward County is when they say that they're going to force the integration. Prince Edward County shuts down all school system, all the entire school system for 5 years. 5 years.
Wow.
Actually, this is before 1954. And one of the cases that he does becomes one of the cases that becomes Brown versus the Board of Education. Remember, the Board of Education of Topeka is just the first case. There are four underneath that. And one of those is his. And
I didn't know that. And I'm sure lots of our listeners didn't know that. So it's a cluster of cases, Brown versus
the Board. It's a cluster of cases. They used the Brown case in Topeka just to show that it wasn't always from the South. And there are other reasons why they picked that case as the lead case. But there are other cases as well, and Samuel Tucker is the lead for that. And along with one of his law partners, Oliver Hill, continue after that, that's when he really starts with Prince Edward County to force them to reopen their school system. Throughout his career, he fights hundreds and hundreds of these. He's also the guy, I can't remember the name of the case now, but really it's the second most important case after Brown versus the Board, which he argues, I think it's against Kent County or Kent school system, that it's not enough to just say you'll desegregate. You have to actively desegregate. And that's what brings in the busing system later on. And he is the lead attorney for the plaintiffs in that case as well. So he drastically changes the landscape of Virginia and the nation. And yet no one has heard about it.
No one has heard about him. One of the things this reminds me of when you were talking is there must be lots of people like Samuel Tucker across the South, especially in this period, who are fighting this kind of at that level and yet have been forgotten by history.
It's so true. We think of the civil rights movement, and you know, it's one of the things that many Americans are proud of, our civil rights movement. But the number of frontline veterans of that program are legion. And you know, when I was at West Point, and we do the same at Hamilton College, where we go on civil rights rides almost and talk to the veterans of that movement. It's amazing how many brave Americans there are that work to create a better system, a freer country that we all benefit from today.
Yeah, and you know, we often see, and this is quite right that we see this, banners. You go through a small town and you see banners for each veteran of various wars hanging from signposts and things like that. And it's a very good thing to do. And it's right. But we should also have these banners for civil rights activists.
Absolutely.
Of that period.
In some ways, the civil rights movement was an insurgency.
Yeah.
A successful insurgency, often using nonviolent tactics to overcome oppressive racial regime that we had, particularly in the South, but not just in the South. And so I think, these are heroes. These are American heroes that need to have more monuments to them. One thing I'm very proud of, when I was a kid growing up in Virginia, I was bused across town during the integration era from the white elementary school, Douglas MacArthur, to the segregated all-Black school, Robert E. Lee Elementary School.
Right, yeah.
That's the Black school named after Robert E. Lee. The other one was Stonewall Jackson. What I'm so proud of today is that school has closed down, and in Alexandria, Virginia, there's a Samuel Tucker Elementary School today.
That's just wonderful. That's just absolutely wonderful. One of the things that interests me so much and impressed me so much when you sent me the information about Samuel Tucker is how he kept fighting these cases after several of them, after so many losses. We don't have the stats for, at least I don't have the stats for wins versus losses for him in the courtroom. But, you know, a lot of people would have given up after the Martinsville Seven all get executed. He goes to the Supreme Court five times, doesn't win all of those cases. So it is amazing the persistence and the dedication over an entire lifetime.
Yeah, he really lived what he believed. And what he also believed is that everybody deserves a defense. Everyone deserves a lawyer.
Yeah.
And the Black citizens of those communities never had someone fighting for them until Samuel Tucker.
Wow. And how is he then remembered in Alexandria? You sent me a webpage from the city of Alexandria, which has a lot on him, including a nice video, which of course we're going to put on the blog post for this episode. But other than that, how is he remembered in Alexandria and Virginia generally?
Yes. I mean, not as much in Virginia. In Alexandria, I think, as I mentioned, in 1940, they built a Black library, segregated Black library, because they weren't going to integrate the white one. But that is today the Black History Museum in Alexandria. And Samuel Tucker is well represented in there. He's well represented at Samuel Tucker Elementary school. So the Black community, because again, once there is a power structure is shared, then these stories of true heroes can come out. But before that, it isn't. So within Alexandria, he is. And he is buried in Arlington National Cemetery,
wow,
along with his brother, who are both veterans. And I think this is another part about Samuel Tucker, who's a Black man who was an officer in the United States Army at a time when it was very dangerous, when all the officers' club, everything was segregated in that army as well. So he fought his entire life to live up to the ideals of the American citizen, the American military, and I think he is one of Alexandria's greatest sons.
Well, that's just wonderful. So we encourage folks not only in Alexandria, but all around the country to find people who are like this in their own towns and in their own counties who did this kind of work and sacrificed in this way, and then, of course, have sort of been forgotten by history. And it's so wonderful that you and other people are trying to resurrect his memory or keep his memory alive. Do you have plans for this story? Is this going to be another fabulous book of yours?
Well, I don't know. Not yet. Got another one I'm working on now, which is to turn the story of Nixon went to West Point in 1971 and ordered West Point to put a Confederate monument on our sacred ground.
Wow.
And Black cadets fought against that, one of the most successful protest movements in American military history. And no one knows about it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell that story next. But Samuel Tucker is in Robert E. Lee and Me. There's a short part about him. But he would be a great subject. He is an amazing American hero that we should know more about. And so this month on Black History Month, I'm trying to tell as many people as possible about my hero, Samuel Tucker. Major Samuel Tucker, United States Army.
Major Samuel Tucker. And of course, we will put as many links to that as possible on the blog post. But we can't leave you, Buzzkillers, without telling you that General Sedgley is going through his own, well, he's showing his own medal and showing his own backbone for the last, 2 years now since Robert E. Lee and Me came out, in that the number of trolls and the number of absolutely vicious comments on Twitter and Amazon reviews of the book is just shocking. And yet you have maintain, you keep pushing the story, you keep telling what you remember and how you grew up and how this has changed your life, despite, you know, some horrific things being said about you.
Yes. History is dangerous.
It is dangerous,
because it goes after our myths and our identities. And when somebody challenges those myths and identities, the reaction can be ferocious. But you know what? I face tougher enemies than online trolls. I find them. I know that if I get people to react that way, it's a sign that I'm talking and writing clearly enough for people to understand that at least in the Civil War, that Confederates chose treason to preserve slavery. And by saying that they were traitors, to saying that they killed U.S. Army soldiers, to say they are unpatriotic and people who fought for the United States Army are patriotic. Some people don't like to hear that, but you know, from my perspective, it's the truth. And I think the more we know that, the more empathetic, the better citizens will be, the better country will be.
And of course, we should add in there, Major Taylor, not only in his military role, but in his civil rights role, was a patriot as well.
Absolutely. He was absolutely a patriot. And I think that's what to fight for the American ideals is who we are as a people. And those ideals that we have never lived up to, but sometimes it takes real courage. And the courage that Samuel, by the way, one more story about Samuel Tucker is that when he lived in Emporia, he was so worried about somebody hurting him and his family that he built a house outside of town and each room had two exits to it, two doors, so that if anybody was coming to assault he or his family, that they would have a way out. So he planned all this knowing that the possibility of violence was strong, and he was going to do his best to protect his family, but still had the courage to fight against this racial police state.
That's just amazing. That's just amazing. And as we said, Buzzkillers, there are people like this across the country. There were people like this across the country in our history. So please go to your local history association, your local library, your local archive, and ask see who you can dig up that deserves more fame and glory, and come on Professor Buzzkill on a Man Crush Monday and a Woman Crush Wednesday. So it just remains for me to say thank you so much, General. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. My pleasure, Joe. Thank you so much.
And we cannot wait for this new book to come out about the protests at West Point.
Yeah, and I can't.
So we'll hope you'll come back on the show when that one's done.
Thank you so much. I really will. Much appreciated.
Okay. Buzzkillers, we will talk to you next time.